you rather find most African cities in terms of transportation regressing. Development is preceding planning. They are aware because these are problems you see clearly every day. And so there are policies to address them, but the implementation of these policies is what is missing.
Afrika. 55 Länder. Konstruktiv und differenziert. Das ist der 55 Countries Podcast mit Julian Hilgers.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu Folge 47 von 55 Countries. Ihr wisst es natürlich, die Bevölkerung auf dem afrikanischen Kontinent, die wächst rasant. Bis 2030 werden voraussichtlich 6 afrikanische Städte, darunter Lagos, Kinshasa und Kairo, zu Megastädten mit mehr als 10 Millionen Einwohnern gehören. Alleine in Nigerias Wirtschaftsmetropole Lagos sollen dann mehr als 25 Millionen Menschen leben. Diese rasante Urbanisierung, die stellt die Städte und die Menschen, die dort leben, vor extreme Herausforderungen. Und genau diesen Herausforderungen möchte ich mich in den kommenden Folgen von 55 Countries etwas stärker widmen. In dieser Folge, da geht es um das Thema Verkehr. Wer schon mal in einer afrikanischen Metropole war, der weiß, in vielen Städten ist der Verkehr nicht gerade gut geregelt und besonders für Fußgänger oder Fahrradfahrer gibt es im Grunde eigentlich gar keine Infrastruktur. Darüber habe ich gesprochen mit Theodora Asimeng. Er ist wissenschaftlicher Mitarbeiter am German Institute of Development and Sustainability und hat sich ganz besonders mit urbaner Mobilität in Afrika beschäftigt. African countries are facing a rapid urbanization. What kind of challenges do you see coming with that in general?
I think that there are already challenges, existing challenges that we can talk about. And those challenges are going to get worse if they are not addressed. Number one has to do with the infrastructure and all forms of infrastructure, talking about transportation infrastructure, talking about sanitation as well, settlements and all that, because you have currently a lot of people living in slums in the urban areas. In terms of transportation, the main means of transportation is the informal sector, and then a rapidly growing but very unsafe is the use of motorbikes for public transportation or as commercial transportation. These things need to be addressed. And then you have the effect of downpours because the drainage systems are also not good enough for the urban areas. You have flooding when, because of climate change, the rainfall patterns are changing. And so flooding is also becoming a common thing as well, because the infrastructure is not adequate enough to address it. And people are building or settling in flood prone areas. And so the existing challenges are not being addressed because the population also keeps increasing. And then another thing that I will touch on has to do with the employment issue, because of the growing population that are mainly young people and there are not enough employment opportunities for them. Most of them are driven or shifted into the informal sector, where you have more or less no job security, no social security system. Yeah, so it's a big issue on its own, which then also leads to violence and all that, because you have a lot of young people who are not gainfully employed or employed at all, and they have to put their energies into some other use.
So really a lot of challenges. Do you think the city administrations are aware of those challenges, or do they develop concepts or have any ideas how to deal with those challenges?
Yes, they do have a number of ideas, I think. almost all the cities, even at the national level, in most countries, that is how it's addressed, that you have a national policy for addressing some of these challenges. And then it comes to the subnational or the city level where they implement what has been designed, thought of to address these challenges. They are aware because these are problems you see clearly every day. And so they are policies to address them, but the implementation of these policies, that is not really working. In terms of sanitation, almost all countries and cities have policies, have departments to address the sanitation and health and infrastructure problems. But I would say that the capacity and competence to address them has been the main challenge, and also how the policies, the coherence within the policies, it's not really there. And most of the time, because the population is also increasing rapidly, the main issue has to do with the fact that development is preceding planning.
Could you name any specific example of a city which is doing well or quite well or okay in implementing those policies and really have an impact in the urban planning?
It's hard to think of a city that is doing well. One can mention South Africa, South African cities, but then they also have other problems because of their history of apartheid, where the city was developed and planned differently. And so in the mornings, you have people moving in from the settlements to the city center in the evening. Almost everyone moving out. So their system is quite different, and that also brings other challenges in terms of slums and all that. But in terms of infrastructure, it's strong enough to withstand some of these flooding and all. But they also experienced flooding last year. I think Cape Town or Durban experienced flooding. Yeah, and all. But yeah. It's difficult to name one city that is not faced with these challenges, except perhaps the North African cities. But my work has not yet covered much of North Africa, and so I can't speak much about that.
Then let's look at your expertise, the transportation. In the big cities, we see massive traffic jams, often very old vehicles, which are bad for the environment. What needs to change to develop a sustainable transport system in African urban areas?
In terms of policy, it's easy to answer. You can talk about having rail systems, or yeah, first improving the mass transportation system where you have rail transportation and then buses to move people. But the current system is such that you have mostly the minibuses doing that kind of work, and most cities have sought to change that using a bus rapid transit system, which is a system that was pioneered in Latin America and has proven to be successful. So with the bus rapid transit system, or the BRT as it's affectionately called, the idea is to think of a train, but then you see a bus, meaning that you have buses having dedicated lanes so they don't share the space with other motorists or other vehicles, so that they can really be scheduled and be on time and run like trains do. Recent work that I have done, and also my previous work in this area, shows that within the African context, you only have six of them more or less working or functional, whereas in Latin America, you have about 60 of such in different cities. We diagnose the problem to be that you have an already established informal transportation system, or now what is called popular transport, because and what I call paratransit system, being the main means of public transportation. So trying to implement this means that you either have to include the existing mode of transportation, which is the minibuses or the paratransit system, and find a role for them within the system, or you kick them out, which it's not popular or you can't do within the African context. And so it's been challenging. Yeah, in terms of ideas, that is one way of addressing it. Rail is also another, but it's more expensive and it has many technological requirements, which most African cities do not have or countries do not have the expertise for the different aspects of the rail system. And so even in some cities that are importing rail or starting to implement rail, they can't even implement to run on electricity to have electric trains, although that is the available system, they rather run it on diesel because they don't have constant supply of electricity. So you have a challenge there. And I'm currently working on research that is looking at how the growing green hydrogen system, this niche energy that is being developed across Africa, being looked into, that it can be used to leapfrog from rather using diesel as a source of energy, because for electricity, it's almost impossible to rely on. And so using green hydrogen as the fuel for the trains that some of the countries that want to implement them.
But how could that approach look like? I mean, for me, I've been to Dar es Salaam, for example, where you have this BRT system, which is, I think, working quite well, although the city is growing faster than this bus system. But nevertheless, it's there. It seems to work. Why is that so complicated for other cities to adapt that or just to copy that?
For Dar es Salaam, they would have wished that it was all over the city functioning. But in most African cities where, first of all, you have the paratransit or the informal transportation system being the main means of public transport, and so you can't get rid of them. It doesn't make sense to do that. You have to incorporate them. And when you incorporate them, they don't have the financial capabilities to buy the buses and to invest in operating as a formal bus company. Neither do they have the competences to operate as such. So you have this challenge with the existing system that you need to incorporate or make them the owners of the new service. And then you also have the side of the government where most African cities and governments, because of the existence of the paratransit or the informal transport system, have shared the responsibility of public transport to them. So some of them don't even have budget for public transportation within their cities. And all of a sudden with a BRT, it means that they need to create a budget. And so it means that financing has to go there, which was not there before. And then secondly, most of them don't even have departments to regulate the existing system. That is how come the informal or the paratransit system has proliferated. So there are no, and all of a sudden they need to create institutions, have competence to regulate the existing informal and also start a new service. And we are proposing a longer term, and I'm not the only one proposing that. Other researchers have seen how the challenges within the African context doesn't make it useful to adopt such an approach. And so we call it the step-by-step approach, where you have the different components of the BRT, which you want to implement. But then depending on the city and the challenges that you face financially, competence-wise, you implement each in a step-by-step manner, that not you want to do everything within 4 years, but based on your capabilities and financial capabilities, you implement them one after the other. But first is to ensure that you have regulatory control over the existing informal service, and then you incorporate them, let them understand what you want to do. And this takes time to convince them. They need to build trust with the government. Without that trust, they will always be doubtful that they will be included and not be replaced.
But still, you mentioned that earlier, most of the transport is based on fossil fuels, which is maybe not the best idea for the future. We see now in Ethiopia, in Addis Ababa, that you have an electric urban train going through the city, and you have the government restricting the import of cars with fossil engines, diesel engines. Do you think this could be approach to just let only electric vehicles in your country, or is that too radical? I don't know.
I wouldn't use the term radical, but most African, I think it's ambitious. It might not be sustainable for most African countries because electricity, constant supply of electricity has more or less become a luxury. And you find most African cities trying to include coal or fossil fuels in their electricity mix. In the past, most of them were running hydro and all, but now they have other sources of energy in their energy mix, which includes fossil fuels without tapping the renewable energy capacity like solar, wind, geothermal, and now the new kid on the block, green hydrogen, for instance. For the case of Ethiopia in particular, because the government cannot rely on constant supply of electricity, what they did was to build a separate power station for the rail system. And I don't see many cities or countries in Africa that can do that, to build something for that. And it comes at a cost, a high cost, which you would have to then put on the users of the system. If you don't do it at the initial stages to ensure that you have you capture the market, so you make it cheap and then you capture the market. Later, when you try to increase it, it will be a problem for the users and also the operators. So I don't see that as a sustainable means, and I don't think many African countries would want to go on that route. And in most parts of Africa, because the roads themselves are not motorable, the use of vehicles or having a vehicle is not a luxury, but rather a necessity, because you have more or less no public transportation system, or the public transportation system, it's not safe, it's not comfortable. It's a whole challenge on its own, trying to ban secondhand vehicles. And for me, one problem that I see, which needs to be addressed, or conversation needs to be, we need to have conversation about, is the impact on Africa when that is going on. Most countries in Europe and in North America decide to really go for electric vehicles. The question will be, where will the secondhand vehicles go? And you will find most of them on Africa and on the African market. And it's not because the people who are shipping them to the African market just want to dump them, but because there is a need in terms of cost, and also there aren't many vehicles on the continent for people to be able to move.
Okay, to summarize all that, how do you think an average African big city like Dar es Salaam or Accra will look like in 10 years when we compare it to now? What might have changed in terms of transportation?
Because of the existing challenges within the transportation space in terms of infrastructure, you rather find most African cities in terms of transportation regressing, not even going forward or staying where they are, regressing in terms of using tricycles and bicycles for commercial transport. And that is the worst form of transportation you can have in terms of public transport, or to move more than one person. And that has to change. That, I think, in the next 10 years, it has to change, but I don't know exactly how it's going to change. And also the push for bus rapid transit. But and if that the success of the bus rapid transit, the success depends on the approach that they will adopt. And I hope that they listen to the approach that we are advocating for, the step-by-step approach, so that it can be successful. In terms of rail transportation, despite the challenge, the cost and all, like because the cities are growing rapidly, it's essential. And I think some cities will still continue to develop the rail transportation, although it won't be that much. So that is the aspect of mass transport. On private vehicles, I think secondhand market will still be there. They say secondhand vehicles will still be imported onto the continent. But as to how that will change, I think will largely depend on how Europeans and North Americans buy into the idea of electric vehicles and what happens in North America and Europe and to an extent Asia as well, because these are the areas where the secondhand vehicles are imported onto the continent. So that is the kind of future. The third aspect really depends on what happens, how policies are implemented on electric vehicles in other parts of the world, but not on the continent.
In German urban areas, we now see a growing interest in just using your bike, your bicycle, and you see the city administrations developing new cycling paths. Do you think that could also happen in African urban cities?
Biking requires infrastructure because it's not safe if you are sharing the same road space with vehicles. But in most African countries, in terms of road infrastructure development, they build a road and not include bicycles. So if there is a shift towards creating bicycle lanes, then the use of bicycle could grow. But of course, there are certain areas where they have, or places where they have no other alternative but to use bicycles more. And for those places, you find majority of the people using bicycles. Yeah. But in most urban areas or the mega cities, if the infrastructure is not developed, it's really unsafe for people to use it. And those who use it are confined to the minority, and they only have to use it because they have to. There's no other option, despite feeling unsafe. One aspect in terms of moving within urban areas that, yeah, in terms of your question, which we haven't touched, is walking, which is the main means of moving from point A to B in urban areas in Africa. But the problem is that there isn't enough spaces for people to walk. Even the pathways in urban centers are covered by vehicles or shops, people buying and selling. And I think there has to be a conscious effort to create that space for people to walk, because most of the accidents that happen in African urban areas, the people who die or are involved are people not in the vehicles, but rather on the side of the road. And this really has to be improved.
So viel von Theodore Asimeng. Weitere Infos zu ihm und seiner Arbeit findet ihr natürlich verlinkt in der Folgenbeschreibung. Das war's auch schon wieder von dieser Folge. Vielen Dank, dass ihr wieder reingehört habt. Ihr kennt das Spiel, wenn euch 55 Countries gefällt, dann lasst es unbedingt auch andere wissen. Also teilt diesen Podcast bei Social Media, bei Instagram und erzählt doch einfach euren Freundinnen und Freunden von diesem Projekt. Das hilft mir wirklich sehr, um die Bekanntheit ein bisschen zu erhöhen. Auch in den nächsten Folgen möchte ich mich immer wieder mal mit dem Thema Urbanisierung in Afrika beschäftigen, denn die Herausforderungen, die dort entstehen, Theodora hat es angesprochen, die haben natürlich ganz viele Facetten. Da geht es nicht nur um Verkehr, sondern auch um Klimaschutz, um Arbeit oder um Wohnen. Wenn euch das interessiert, hört weiter rein und abonniert 55 Countries in eurer Podcast-App und folgt mir bei Social Media. Dankeschön und bis zum nächsten Mal, euer Julian. Ciao. Thank you.